Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Doing a garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
And will I still be able to sleep when I'm 64? All this month, as part of WNYC's Clock Your Sleep project, we're talking about sleep cycles through the life cycle. We've talked about babies and sleep, adolescent sleep. Last week, we talked about sleep in your younger adult years up through the 50s, and we'll conclude the series now with seniors and sleep. You've probably heard the commonly held belief that older people need less sleep, and maybe you tell this to yourself for reassurance if you are of that age. But is it really true? Do you need less sleep than you used to? And do you feel fine? Do you try to sleep 8 hours but can't? Do you find yourself waking up more in the middle of the night? How has your sleep changed now that you moved on to your 60s, 70s, 80s? Anyone in your 90s or 100s listening? How do other ailments affect your sleep? And how does your sleep affect everything else in your life at that age? 212-433-WNYC. Call us up. Join the conversation. 212-433-9692. And joining us again is Dr. Shelby Harris, director of the Behavioral Sleep Medicine Program at Montefiore Medical Center. She's been one of our resident experts all month. Dr. Harris, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian. I appreciate it.
And I asked another of our advisors, Columbia University sleep expert Carl Bazile, on the show last week whether there's any truth to this commonly held notion that we need less sleep as we get much older. Here's what he said.
Well, that's probably not true at all. There are differences in sleep as you get older. One of them is that people don't tend to sleep quite as deeply. They don't get as much slow wave or very deep sleep as they do when they're younger. So they tend to wake up more. When you look at people who are over 65, they will tend to, their sleep will be more fragmented. They'll wake up more often, so they may think they're getting less sleep. But overall, the needs are pretty similar in terms of time.
Dr. Carl Bazile last week, so Dr. Shelby Harris right now. Do you agree with that? How much sleep do older adults need? And does it actually go down as you age?
I couldn't agree with him more. Exactly what he said. Really, what we find in older adults is the same thing he was saying. We find that it sometimes takes them longer to fall asleep, and once they fall asleep, the sleep tends to be more fragmented and more shallow than it is in younger adults. But the total sleep need is still between 7 and 9 hours for older adults. There's this misconception they need less sleep, and a lot of patients are still hearing this from doctors, and we need to really clear up that misconception.
Seniors, how has your sleep changed? Do you have questions for a sleep doctor? Do you have advice for others, either for how to get back to sleep in the middle of the night if you wake up, or stories about what you end up doing when you find yourself awake more in the middle of the night? 212-433-WNYC for Dr. Shelby Harris, 212-433-9692. So, Dr. Harris, there's REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, which is often called dream sleep. Then there's stage one, which is light sleep, the more relaxed stage two sleep. And then there's the most restorative deep sleep of stage three. And this last deep sleep stage is what I guess you're saying older people are missing out on. So how does that affect them? Isn't that where you consolidate memory and clean up your brain and kind of get rid of the junk for the next day?
Well, somewhat. What happens more is actually it's more in REM sleep when you tend to actually have more emotion, cognitive processing, memory formation. What we see in this slow wave sleep, that stage 3/4, is we see a lot of, in younger adults, we see a lot of growth hormone being produced. And in older adults, growth hormone is not being produced as much. So they really have less of that stage of sleep. And as we were saying, it tends to be more fragmented. So older adults tend to nap more during the day, and it's possibly because the sleep is more shallow and more fragmented at night. But when we look at the total sleep obtained over a 24-hour period, it's roughly the same as it is when they were younger.
Tom in Mayo Pack, you're on WNYC. Yeah. Hello, Tom.
Hi. Hi, Brian. Yeah, this is a great – I was just thinking about this the other day. I'm 64. I'm a professional. I hold down full-time job, very active. The thing is that I have to get up in the middle of the night, sometimes more than once, to go urinate. And it seems to break my pattern. I notice in the middle of the day, I'm kind of like that. I need to take a nap or, you know, pace myself. I need to revisit this whole waking up in the middle of the night thing.
Do you find that you can go pretty much right back to sleep, and so you're getting almost the same total number of hours of sleep that you used to?
Yeah, it just breaks my whole REM cycle.
Yeah. So, Dr. Harris, this is just what you were talking about a minute ago. Yeah. Do you have advice for people in Tom's position?
Well, I think, unfortunately, it is part of what happens with aging. So waking up once or twice to urinate in the middle of the night is completely normal. But there are things that you need to be looking out for in case it's happening more frequently than that. So the first thing is you need to make sure that you're able to go back to sleep. If you're not, that's an issue that you might want to talk with someone about and see if there's treatment options. Another thing is make sure you're not drinking a lot of liquids before you go to bed. A lot of people are taking medications, especially older adults are taking more medications at night, and sometimes the medications you're taking or the liquids you're drinking with it can make you have to urinate. And one other thing to keep in mind is there might be medical problems going on that are making you have to urinate more. So one thing we see more commonly in older adults is actually obstructive sleep apnea. And when patients have sleep apnea, it actually can put stress on the body and make you have to urinate more. So if it's really becoming a problem at night and you're feeling like it's happening more than once or twice, you should get it evaluated.
One of our listeners posting on Facebook has some advice for guys in Tom's position. He writes, had to deal with getting back to sleep after those visits to the bathroom in the middle of the night, then got the best advice of my life, sit down. No need to turn on the light. No need to really come out of that sleep state back under the blankets without having been totally roused. It's so much easier to return to sleep. Basically, he's telling the guys to urinate sitting down because you don't have to turn on the light to help you aim, so you're not going to wake up as much. So how's that for a specific piece of advice? And is it just the biology, or is it also the body clock of an older body, Dr. Harris?
So there is a biology aspect to it, like we were just talking about. But when you were saying body clock, we have these circadian rhythms that really set the timing of sleep. And when people start to get older, what we notice is that for many people, their body clock shifts earlier. So they start to want to go to sleep earlier, and they actually wake up earlier. So sometimes that can be shifted too early, and patients might be falling asleep at 7, 8 o'clock at night and waking up at 3 in the morning, and then it becomes a problem for them because they're up at 3 in the morning. But it's normal to want to start to go to sleep a little earlier and wake up earlier.
Richard in Jamaica, you're on WNYC. Hello, Richard.
Oh, hi, Brian. Compliments to you for the extent of the subjects that you cover each day, which are so vital to all of us.
Thank you.
I'm 82, and I've been listening periodically to your series, and I don't think I've heard much of emphasis on the value of exercise, both in length and also vigorousness, in terms of the effect on sleep. I find in my case, if I exercise about an hour a day, different kinds of exercise, some, you know, just isotonic, others in running, and I find that my sleep is wonderfully well done and deep, and sometimes my wife says I even snore as a result of this. So I wonder how your guest feels about the importance of exercise.
Dr. Harris?
I agree so much with that comment. I think exercise is really, really crucial to be able to help with just sleep quality and quantity at night. The way I like to think about it a bit, too, is that sleep at night is almost charging your battery. And if you're not doing much during the day, you don't have to charge it as much at night. So exercise is really great. And when you were talking about the timing of it and how vigorous it needs to be, you know, what we find is exercise any time of the day is good for your body. But ideally for sleep, if you're really struggling with trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, exercising in the late afternoon, early evening, about 6 hours before bedtime, 4 to 6 hours before bedtime, and just enough to kind of get your heart rate up a bit for about 20 minutes is sufficient. So even an hour of running, as he was saying, is excellent. You just don't want to exercise too close to bedtime because that's when it can actually be too alerting that it actually can interfere with going to sleep.
So you've already got on the table here, don't drink too much before going to bedtime if you're prone to urinating in the middle of the night, and don't exercise too close to bedtime because you're going to key up your body.
Yeah, I like the rule of 3 hours. Try to limit liquids, exercise, heavy meals, alcohol, all within 3 hours of going to bed.
So we talked about the guys more with respect to urination. What about menopause? One of several talking points about how menopause changes things. Mary on our Facebook page says, have had several conversations with women like myself who were wonderful deep sleepers until menopause. We became shallow sleepers. So is it hot flashes? Is it something else? Does menopause come into it? Dr. Harris, did I lose you? I think I did. Dr. Shelby Harris. All right, we'll get her back on the phone
Hello?
In just a minute. Dr. Harris, is that you?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you again. Did you hear my question about menopause?
Yes, I did. Sorry about that. So menopause is very, very common when it affects sleep. So what people tend to have notice happen is that it does become more shallow. And the hot flashes are one of the biggest complaints that I hear all the time. Patients wake up, they have a hot flash, and then they sometimes have trouble going back to sleep. And another thing I really hear a lot with women who are going through menopause is that their brains are more active. They wake up in the middle of the night and they can't stop thinking. So these are all very common things. And there are treatments that are available to help, but it really has to be tailored to the specific patient.
Dan in Bridgewater, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Dan.
Hi. I wanted to point out that sleep is very similar to, in older age, to other systems that try to suppress inflammation. And lack of sleep makes you prone to inflammation. The immune system has to be quieted down as much as the neural system. And the most important thing is that sleep has to be done at very regular hours, consistently, day after day. You have to be in bed at that time. You have to eat a couple of hours before and the lightest meal in the evening so that your digestive system and your appetite systems do not interfere with your sleep system. So we can break it down into systems now, but the most important thing is that your circadian rhythm has to be respected and your exercise has to precede your sleep by a couple of hours, mm-hmm. as suggested by the previous speaker.
All right. Thank you. We'll just note all that and go on to Carol in Red Bank. Carol, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Good to talk to you. I just giving a comment about something that I've noticed in myself. I went from being, you know, a regular full-time worker with 8-hour day and hour to an hour and a half commute each way to being a full-time student. And I find that I don't have the stamina that my younger colleagues do. You know, sometimes when you have exams like they're coming up or papers due, those guys can, you know, they can be up and
pull the all-nighters.
Huh?
They can pull the all-nighters.
They can pull the all-nighters. I can't. I mean, 11 o'clock comes, and no matter what's happening, I have to be in bed.
That's, you know, it's such a fascinating question, Carolyn. Thank you. Partly, Dr. Harris, because you and our other guests in this Sleep Cycles During the Life Cycle series keep saying, you know, there aren't differences in the amount of sleep that we need at different ages. Teenagers need their 8 hours of sleep. 70-year-olds need their 8 hours of sleep. So why is it that when Carol and others want to try to pull an all-nighter when they're 63, they can't, like when they're in college?
Well, I think there's probably some stuff that might be different going on when you think about, like we were talking about, the circadian rhythm. So if you're someone who normally just wants to go to bed a little bit earlier because you're a little bit older, it's going to make it even harder to stay awake later at night. Also, teenagers tend, and even young adults, they tend to use more things to help them stay awake, which is not always great. So they're using more coffee, they're using the Red Bulls, all that sort of stuff to help stay awake. And older adults, too, remember we were saying that their sleep tends to be more fragmented at night and not as deep. So when that's happening, it does make you want a nap or fall asleep earlier at night. So there are a lot of different things that come into play, but the sleep need is still the same depending upon the time of day that you're getting it.
Let me ask you about medications, non-sleep medications. Both prescription and over-the-counter medications sometimes contain stimulants, like if you were taking a decongestant,
right,
or some painkillers. And then people take beta blockers to treat high blood pressure and heart conditions. That can be disruptive. So what can people do if they have to take these medications, but it's messing with their sleep? Is it also a matter of doing it a few hours before bedtime, or what's your best advice there?
Well, it really depends upon the combination of medications that you're taking, and we're talking about non-sleep aids, as you're saying. Sometimes there are other ones that you can take that might not be as disruptive to your sleep at night, so you really have to have a conversation with your doctor if you really do find that it's making you have to urinate more, if it's making you have trouble fall asleep at night. Sometimes, like you were saying, it can also be the timing of it. So a lot of people are taking medications at night, or even things like antidepressants. A lot of the SSRIs that are out there can actually make create insomnia. So sometimes just a simple switch to maybe taking it in the morning, if your doctor's okay with that, might actually help to clear up the problem.
Let's take one more call from somebody who says he's a great sleeper. We've heard all these people with problems. Paul in Great Neck. You're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
You're the greatest.
Thank you.
I sleep like a log. I'm 84 years old. I do exercise, light meal for dinner, shifted my day because I love to work and read late at night, get to bed about 4 a.m. When I wake up in the morning, I have a few interruptions. One is I breathe through my mouth so that it becomes very dry and finally wakes me up. Or I have to urinate a couple of times, but I go right back to sleep. One of the things that I found is getting into, turning on the side and getting into a fetal position. I find that extremely helpful.
Paul, I'm gonna leave it there. And Dr. Harris, in a way, it's the luxury of the retired person, because it sounds like he's not on any schedule that he needs to keep. Versus the person of the same age, like one of our earlier callers who's in his mid-60s but still actively employed, if your body is changing and the way you wake up and want to sleep is different, once you're retired, yeah, you can read late at night, you can sleep till 11 o'clock, and that actually makes a difference, right?
It does make a difference, but the thing that I do notice is that if you're someone who spent your whole life working and getting up at 6:30 in the morning every day for work, some patients I see, they get frustrated because they want to now sleep until 9 a.m. because they don't have to get up in the morning. But you have to realize that your body clock was set for many, many, many years, and you have to kind of work with it. And you can modify it a little bit if you don't have the same demands in the morning, but just having a free-for-all of being able to kind of sleep in and go to bed whenever you want can sometimes set the stage for insomnia at night. So you really do want to try and keep on a schedule. Even though you're retired, you want to try and have some routine in your life because it will help to set your sleep schedule at night.
Shelby Harris is director of the Behavioral Sleep Medicine Program at Montefiore Medical Center. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks.
And that wraps up our Sleep Cycles Through the Life Cycle series. But the Clock Your Sleep project continues into May on WNYC. You can still join the project and track your own sleep with us at WNYC.org/sleep. And next week, we're launching phase two of the project, where we're going to break out into teams to try to improve our sleep. The takeaways: John Hockenberry, New Tech City host Manush Amarodi, and on the media's Brooke Gladstone and PJ Vogt will all be team leaders. You'll be able to sign up for their teams next week to try to get an extra hour of sleep. Stay tuned for details. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next after the break, a very special guest, the daughter of Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the Nobel Prize winner. His daughter is Reverend Mpho Tutu, and together they are launching a month of global forgiveness. Mpho Tutu on forgiveness with your calls coming up next.